circuses on the air.
The president doesn't.
Sometimes you feel like
that means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you
tear down this wall.
Here's Johnny.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.I.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
We're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
John's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
Look at that. You got your shorts on, your t-shirt on, Dave Schwann. You got your number ready to go. You are running today.
I'm just like Curly in the one football episode where he was having, he had a question mark on his, rather than
in his striped outfit.
Than a number.
Yeah.
And I think Larry's number was 3/8.
Yes, at H2O. Somebody at H2O as well. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, I'll be watching the marathon from the comfort of my home.
Provided you can get home.
Exactly.
They're starting. No, everything was fine.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, everything was fine when I came in a little while
ago.
But it's, you know, everything is in place and they are ready. You cannot cross from Michigan Avenue to Lakeshore Drive.
Ooh, I'm going to have to figure that out then.
Well, we're further north from the river, you know.
And you'll be reporting on the traffic all morning.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Oh, yes.
There you go. There you go.
But Michigan Avenue was open, but the cross streets, Balbo, Jackson, forget it.
It's going to be a little bit of a chilly one. Chilly start this morning.
A chilly start, but no rain in the forecast.
Yeah, that's great until later today. No,
yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I was talking to some folks yesterday that are in the race, and one person was in from England, the other in from San Francisco.
But if you're on your way down and you're going to be down around 7 a.m., I mean, we're talking 40 degrees.
Yeah.
We're talking 40 degrees.
Yeah.
Now, the first race was in 1977, but there was a first Chicago Marathon in 1905, like a different version of it, because in 77 when they started, it was the Mayor Daley Marathon, I think, after the first Mayor Daley.
Right. Well, that was right around the time he passed away.
That's right. So, exactly right. But this first Chicago Marathon was run on September 23rd, 1905. That race began in Evanston and finished in front of a standing room only paying crowd at the Washington Park Racetrack in a stunning upset. There was a behind the lead to steal the race. Some
Is
guy
that
got it.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, with that race, the Chicago Marathon became an annual run of epic races that continued until the 1920s, when then there was issues, obviously, with the Depression and everything else, and then it stopped and then didn't start back up again until so many years later.
Right, right. I would imagine World War I might have had an effect on that.
It was that as well. That's exactly right.
It was amazing what the war. Both wars affected.
What it shifted.
Yeah.
Out of there. Yeah, absolutely. Also, 1775, the U.S. Navy was formed. 1858, R.H. Macy and Company opens its first store. You know, as much as I love still the State Street store, and the fact that it says Marshall Fields, and you
Christmas
can buy
Christmas decorations and you up can, already.
Well, yes, they are. They are, and you can still buy like items with the words Marshall Fields them.
Sure, the Franco mints and that,
but mugs and there's stuff from the Walnut Room and so forth,
and you know replicas of the Norman Rockwell painting
of
the clock.
But it's tough. And the Tiffany ceiling. I mean, it's just a beautiful store.
It really is a beautiful
store and such a holiday tradition.
Still, for me. You know, Chicago looks great at Christmas time, holiday time.
It does.
It really does. North Michigan Avenue, but that still, for me, is the nicest store.
But in 3 weeks, Dave, we'll be lighting the tree in the Walnut Room. I mean, you're already hearing the tree time commercials, so we got to get through Halloween first, as we just talked about Booberry and Count Chocula.
Booberry and Count Chocula.
But it's coming, man. It's right around the corner. Right around the corner. 1864, this week, President Lincoln formally established Thanksgiving as a national holiday.
Yeah, Yep.
Because it was something.
The fourth Thursday of the. I don't know why they picked that day, but, you know, that was it. And I think it was also, you know, a time where they were trying to end the Civil War.
Yeah.
1864 was still going on.
That's right.
So, you know, there was a push to have something positive.
That's right.
To you know, get this behind us.
1873, just a decade later. Look out. P.T. Barnum introduced the greatest show on earth. Yeah. That was a great movie, too. Wasn't it 1950s with Charlton Heston?
Yes.
Charlton Heston.
And also there was a TV show for a while called The Greatest
Really?
Show
and
on
was it all circus shows,
earth.
Too? Mm-hmm. Wow, yep. Look at that. Yep. The Greatest Show on Earth, a little trivia
I have a
point
vague memory of it, you know, early to mid-60s.
60s, yeah. Okay. The actual Greatest Show on Earth movie theme was the theme to Bozo Circus called The Greatest Show on Earth. That came from that movie. Yeah, that came from that movie. When everybody was, you know, there was no rights issues back then, obviously. 1910, the Philadelphia A's beat the Chicago Cubs 4-1 in the 7th World Series.
Yeah.
You know, so we lost one there, too.
We lost more than one.
Yeah, we lost more than one. 1941, Dumbo was released. 1957, Jailhouse Rock, starring Elvis Presley, opened. That was one of the first rock and roll movies that was out there.
Yeah, that one, Blackboard Jungle, and then Rock Around the Clock. And I like Rock Around the Clock.
Yeah, that was a good one as well.
That's a cool movie.
Mm-hmm. 1960, the first fully mechanized post office opened. And, you know, we're still, I'll lament about this again.
The post office.
Still losing ridiculous
amounts
of money.
You and the post office.
That drives me nuts. Like, for our president touting himself, obviously, is a businessman. Like, why, you know, why hasn't the post office been addressed yet? Now, here's what's really interesting. I saw an article this week about the old post office that's on 290 downtown here is ready to reopen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
which is pretty cool.
They're going to have a multi-use building there. Any number of things were talked about for usage. A hotel, a casino.
Residence,
yes.
Restaurants
right,
and so forth.
Right.
There's, I believe it's ChicagoMagazine.com, there is pictures of what it looked like before the remodel began and what it looks like now. The transformation is absolutely groundbreaking.
I'll have to see that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
It's
I did
very
see,
cool.
You, speaking of transformation, a few weeks ago, the Tribune running an article on what the residences are going to look like in Trib Tower.
Yeah.
Oh.
Pretty amazing.
Stunning.
Huh? And if you know, if you're driving through the city, folks, it looks like Paris in World War II surrounding the Tribune Tower. I mean, there's holes everywhere, and they've literally. I think the back end of the building, which isn't really landmarked it's gutted out from the top.
That building went up in the late 20s, I think, early 30s.
Yeah.
It is not technically part of the original Tribune Tower, which is landmark.
True. That is true. Yeah. Absolutely. We're going back, if you haven't noticed, on certain our social media sites, and if you're watching at WGNRadio.com on the mic flags and so forth, we've kind of gone back to a previous logo, an old logo that's much more readable. You know, this is the one that's right here.
Sure, yeah.
One of the things in the Tribune Tower, because they pulled everything out, just a little history here. They pulled out all the historic doors that were there since the 1920s to store them, refinish them, and they're going to use them throughout the building.
Oh, they are. Okay.
All the elevators.
You know,
obviously the lobby has stayed intact. The only part of the building that is actually still intact, believe it or not, is the showcase studio. And the construction manager for the Tribune Tower offices out of the showcase studio.
So Dean keeps saying it's going to be a mattress store.
He does say but right now it's actually a usable office. But there is a door, and I think you know this too, that I had talked to Golub, I think it was, who bought the building. I had talked to management, and I said, one of the WGN radio doors that now has our now current logo on it, I said, what's going on with this door? He's like, you want it? And I said, yeah. He goes, yep, take it. And so in my office upstairs, I have one of the original studio doors.
Nice.
That I had to, like, expand my doorway and all that. You've
this
seen
is
it,
in
Curtis,
your home office,
you?
Or is this in
yeah,
your office?
Yeah, I'm a big
office.
Dork. No, in my home office. It's on the third floor of we have, like, a little den upstairs.
It has, like, all the other, like, Bozo memorabilia and stuff like that you have up there, too.
Yes, I have a few other things up there as well.
Just a few.
But, no, the door is kind of cool because I knew they were going to throw it out. You know, like, I mean, they just had dumpsters out there for months.
Yeah. They just gave it to you.
Yeah, Josh and I went, and my son, we unscrewed it from the door, and then I forgot it was you know, because you had a passcode to put in there, so we were pulling it off, and I forgot there were wires in there, and there were sparks everywhere, almost burned down the building. But we took it, put it in the house, like a big door. I know, but I've said people from the station go over there, and they look at me, you know, even Ferguson, our engineer, he's like, you're a dork. Look at this thing, man. But yeah, I did see the images of what they're building in there. And, you know, a lot of these condo conversions, they're pretty cool. I mean, and think about the views and the history in that building. You know?
Spectacular views.
To be able to...
The one remaining question, we'll have to ask Rick Pearson.
Yes.
The one remaining question,
mm-hmm.
with this conversion, will Colonel McCormick's ghost still haunt?
Yeah, I know. I didn't get to that. We had Ursula Bielski on today to talk about Chicago
because
hauntings.
People are convinced
that
building's haunted.
He's hanging out.
He's hanging out.
He's staying at the Intercontinental right now until the building's done, I'm sure. 1961, Chicago Mayor Richard J. Daley played an important role in getting JFK into the Oval Office. So to repay Daley, he came back to Chicago to hold the Democratic fundraiser for local politicians with a $100 per plate dinner at McCormick Place in a firework display. 61? $100 a dinner?
60.
60? Was it 1960? That was expensive.
Very expensive. And there's a great story. There's this marvelous film footage of Kennedy, in a car, an open car, ironically, on State Street. And waving to crowds and everything.
Yeah.
And the story goes that he turned to Richard J. Daley and said, I hope they're not too tired to vote. And he said, don't worry, they won't be.
Yeah.
So, look at that. Yeah.
But here's the thing. There was activities planned the next day, but they were canceled because the press was told the president had a cold. But the real
reason was 62 with the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Was told it was a Cuban Missile Crisis. Yeah. Let's take a little listen to that.
Good evening, my fellow citizens. This government, as promised, has maintained the closest surveillance of the Soviet military buildup on the island of Cuba. Within the past week, unmistakable evidence has established the fact that a series of offensive missile sites is now in preparation on that imprisoned island. The purpose of these bases can be none other than to provide a nuclear strike capability against the Western Hemisphere. Only last Thursday, as evidence of this rapid offensive buildup was already in my hand, Soviet Foreign Minister Gromyko told me in my office that he was instructed to make it clear once again, as he said his government had already done, that Soviet assistance to Cuba, and I quote, pursued solely the purpose of contributing to the defense capabilities of Cuba, unquote.
So that was 1962. 1971.
Yeah, I was just going to say that one more thing real quick, Dave.
Yeah.
If you go into the Hilton and Towers on South Michigan, they have a wonderful pictorial display of famous moments in the history of the hotel.
And that is up there?
And, well, one of them is Kennedy and Daley walking out of those main doors that are still
that's
there.
That's great. In that side hallway leading up to the Irish Bar.
Yeah,
that's very cool. 1971, Roy Disney opened up Walt Disney World in Florida. 1975, after 3 years and $150 million, Water Tower Place opened with the Ritz-Carlton, Marshall Fields, and what was the other retail anchor for years?
Let's see here.
It was where American Girl was, left-hand side. Lord and Taylor.
Lord and Taylor, Marshall Field, and who?
And the Ritz-Carlton.
Ritz-Carlton.
Crock and Bretano's also in there.
I loved Crock.
So did I.
Oh, what a great bookstore.
Great bookstore.
I miss it.
1978, the movie Halloween premiered.
Halloween. Ooh,
there it is.
I spent 8 years trying to reach him, and then another 7 trying to keep him locked up because I realized that what was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
So, Halloween, obviously, the quintessential movie for the season, correct?
Yeah.
That and Friday the 13th were the two big ones when I was growing
up. That's got to be 40 years now.
Halloween, exactly. The first one. 41, I think. Yeah, because Jamie Lee Curtis did the new movie last year to celebrate the anniversary.
Yeah. I worked with a guy who had a young son. He took his son to see Halloween, and he got in the work the following week, and he said, the kid has to sleep with the lights on, and he was absolutely freaked out.
We watch, we'll watch Halloween. We'll watch probably Friday the 13th. I think I watched, we had my pastor over to watch Friday the 13th. He never saw it. He's 33. That was fun. We always watch Psycho and Abbott Costello Meets Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. Those are like some placeholders.
I'm ready to see Psycho again.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it in a long time.
Yeah, still fantastic.
I'm ready to see Psycho
again. That's a good one. Always
you know
a good
what?
One.
Next year, man, 60 years for Psycho.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, who's left from that movie? Not really anybody,
I don't
right?
think so.
Yeah,
I don't think
so. Everybody's gone by that point. That's crazy.
Yeah.
2005, coming up in about a week, is when the Chicago White Sox won the World Series. It was in October of 2005.
2005, yeah.
Let's take a little listen to that last call before they won.
Tying run at second, two out. Palmeiro over the head of Jenks. Uribe charges, throws, out! And the White Sox have won the World Series. Juan Uribe with a play, charging it, throwing it, and the White Sox celebrate their first title in 88 years.
And you know what? I have to say something about that is that it's always great when your hometown announcers would announce the World Series. It's only on radio that we have that content, like when Pat Hughes announced the Cubs win the World Series, but always it's all the TV is always network.
Well, the World Series, yes, that's a network.
Yeah,
but you want your hometown.
You want your hometown
people,
team.
Yeah.
You
got a nice
do.
Text here, Dave.
Yes, sir.
Saying, I always enjoy the entire show, but I particularly enjoy this segment. Thank you.
It is our favorite, Dave. Yeah. It is our favorite.